email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 or 0870-32-32-32. Conor Pope is on the line. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Conor to grapple with any of your consumer issues. Hello, Conor.
Hi, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good. I'm hearing myself back there, but sure, there's nothing we can do about that.
It's so good to hear yourself twice, Ray. That's the thing to remember.
It's confirmation that you exist.
Exactly.
Just a millisecond after you think you exist, it's confirmation that you exist. right. Okay, first one's about sunscreen, which is important. We're getting the safe sun warnings every morning with the weather forecast, which is great. Can you settle an argument, Connor, for me? We have about 6 bottles of sunscreen left over from last summer. And I think we can still use it, but my husband says we have to check it as it won't work anymore. It costs around £60, and that seems like an awful waste if we're going to throw it out.
Yeah, no, I'd say an awful lot of your listeners might find themselves in this position, because let's be honest, we didn't have a whole lot of reason to use sunscreen in July and August of last year. So maybe a lot of people would have bought sun creams in the hope that they would have had a glorious summer, and then they might have had to put it on once before going, ah, sure, feck it. We don't need any sunscreen because the sun isn't shining. So the question then is, does it keep? Now, the simple answer many of your listeners might think is, oh, no, not at all. Sure, it's well beyond its best by date. It's not really that simple. But there is a good way of checking, right? Because somewhere on all the sunscreen bottles that are sold in Ireland, you'll see the icon of a small jar. And after that small jar, there'll be a number. It'll either be 3, 6 or 12, typically, followed by an M. Now, that symbol and that lettering indicates how many months after the opening a product will last. Okay, so if you see something that says 12M on your sun cream and you bought it last August, it might still be good. But I think the really key word there, and the word that's doing the heavy lifting, is the word might. Because there's an awful lot of other factors that come into play here. So for instance, if you bought the sun cream, opened it, used it once, and then stored it in your bathroom in a shady place, it's probably going to be fine, because it's not going to have deteriorated in any significant way from the moment it was opened until now. But let's say you have the same sun cream and you brought it over to Torremolinos for your holidays and you took it down to the beach over and over and over again, and it was baking in 35 degrees heat and sand and grit got into the bottle. Well, then obviously the cream deteriorates because of that. So what I would say to people is, be really cautious, because the last thing you want is to say to yourself, ah, sure, I'm sure it'll be grand. Slather yourself in your factor 50, your factor 30 or whatever it might be. Go out in the sun and find out you're burnt. So it's always better to be safe rather than sorry. So if you've any doubt whatsoever, I think for the sake of the tenner for a bottle or 12 or 15 euros or whatever it is, you'd be as well off to bin it and start again. And the other thing to remember here is that you can get really good value sun cream out there without spending a huge amount of money, because the British Consumer Watchdog, which every single summer it conducts these surveys and it does really serious testing on sun creams from really high-end designers right down to the likes of Lidl and Aldi and Own Brand and all that stuff. And almost always the Own Brand products fare just as well and sometimes even better than the more expensive creams. So if you're concerned about the cash and if you're concerned about the efficacy of the particular sun cream, what I would advise is go out and buy yourself some cheap sun cream to take its place, just to be sure, to be sure, okay, to be sure.
There is a problem though, isn't there, sir? Sorry, sir. There's a problem. Because most people wouldn't know when they opened the sun cream.
Well, that's also a good point. So you'd need to have a clear recall, because it might, and the last thing you want to become, did we open it in August or did we open it in April?
Yeah.
Or did we open it in 2023? I mean, and that's the thing, because it's so important, and I think all of your listeners know how important it is. There's no point in gambling on it just for the sake of saving yourself a fiver or a tenner. I know it seems like a waste of cash to throw something out that's perfectly good, but the stakes are so high when it comes to this stuff. Now, you and I probably grew up in a generation, Ray, in the 1970s when nobody wore sun cream. And we all paid the price for it because we were red raw.
I know somebody whose dad used to apply olive oil when they were down the sun.
That's the truth.
Do you know what? I have family members, not my direct family, but parts of my extended family who used to routinely do that. And Ray, they had red hair. It was the worst.
I think the best takeaway from what you've said there, Connor, is that according to Which magazine, most sun creams do the same job. It doesn't depend on price. So that's the important thing there.
That's 100% correct.
Okay, right. Next one then. I'm looking for some advice. I was one of the lucky people who kept their job during COVID, and with nothing to spend my money on, I started saving. It is a habit I've kept up, but I wonder, should I be doing more with my money than leaving it in my bank account? And if so, where should I put it? Now, not your area of expertise, but you might point them in some direction.
Oh, listen, the short answer to this question is yes, there is more that they should be doing with their money rather than leaving it in their bank account. Bank accounts in Ireland, and I'm talking about your current account or the money that you have, your day-to-day banking, offer spectacularly bad value when it comes to interest rates. I mean, and I mean incredibly bad value. I mean, most current accounts will offer rates of, you know, less than 0.5%, and sometimes even zero. So I think, according to the most recent central bank statistics, the average rate of interest offered on current accounts was something like 0.13%. Now, to put that into context, if you put €100 on deposit with one of those banks offering a 0.13% rate of interest, after a year, I think you'd have earned something like 13 cents in interest. So it's a spectacularly bad way to store your money. But here's the really depressing thing, Ray. I think Irish consumers have something like 160 billion, and that's billion
in saving accounts,
deposit,
yes,
in savings accounts, and 80, and I think 140 billion of that is resting in accounts that offer zero or virtually zero rates of interest. So all of the people who have the 140 billion euro on deposit in a bank are effectively throwing money away.
Well,
and
I think we're risk averse as a nation.
That's one thing. Yeah. There's also a huge level of inertia. So you put the money into your bank and you think it's grand, I'll just leave it there and it'll grow over time. But the reality is that is not happening. So what can you do? What are the alternatives?
Now, you have about 40 seconds to tell me.
Most of the pillar banks will offer year-long rates of between 2.5 and 3%. I'd put the money in there. I'd also consider looking at some of the fintech companies like Revolut, Bunk, N26, or if you're slightly more adventurous, there's a company called Raisin, and that allows you to put your money on deposit in banks all across Europe. But all of them offer a higher rate of return than a current account will offer.
Yeah. We're sort of institutionalized when it comes to deposit accounts, aren't we? Because they were so good for so long. I think that's part of the problem as well.
That's 100% correct.
Yeah, yeah. Pricewatch@rte.ie if you want Connor's advice on any consumer issues. Thanks very much, Connor. Enjoy the
sun.
Thanks,
Ray. Bye.
Yeah, wear sunscreen. There you go. Now, Jenty Coram are back.
Hey.
And they're all over the country in the coming days, from the Sugar Club tomorrow to the Duncairn in Belfast, in Belfast on Sunday, May 18th. They have a wonderful sound. So do you listen to Irish traditional music?
We love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are you just saying that because you're here?
No. We love it. And we were thrilled to hear that Keela is just next door
to do
a live recording.
Yes,
so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Ron Nussnuddig and the lads. They've been doing it for a long time as well. Probably longer than you have.
I think a little longer.
Yeah.
But yeah, we grew up listening to Irish music as well as Quebecois music.
Do you have the Bowron over there? No.
They have it over there.
In Canada.
There is a tradition of a drum that's kind of similar to Bowron, but not as prevalent as here. We have the foot tapping.
So yeah, the foot tapping. Yes. And is there, like, we have these things called, what are they called? Feshes. So all the traditional Irish music people get together and then there's a competition. And leads to the question, is there a foot tapping competition in Canada?
We're not a very competitive culture, no.
They're stuck at the next Olympic Games to have foot tapping.
Well, after what happened with breakdancing, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Can't wait to see the Australian contestant on foot tapping.
Right, you're going to sing us out, and we might have a time to chat the other side of it as well. So what's this song?
Yeah, so it's an instrumental, and you'll probably hear it. It sounds really similar to some Irish music. It's a kind of a tune and a dance called the Brandy, which is like maybe for Irish people, you can think of it as a slip reel.
Right.
So this is called, it's one of our compositions, but it's a brandy, le brandy des montagnes noires.
And you're playing the flute.
The flute.
Yeah, yeah, Nicholas is playing an Irish flute, in fact.
An Irish flute, right. And Jan, you're on guitar, and then Pascal is foot tapping and playing the fiddle.
Oui, monsieur.
That's right.
Right. Genticorum. Merci. When you're ready.
All right.
Spectacular. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Ray.
That was wonderful. Genticorum, spelled Genticorum. Musicnetwork.ie. The lads are all over the country. And I would imagine after hearing that, you will get a lot of people rushing to buy tickets. It's a great sound. So you're familiar with Riverdance, obviously, but there was another piece called Time Dance.
Oh, no, not familiar with
that. Yeah, so Time Dance was done by Planxty for a Eurovision Song Contest, I think in the early 80s, written by the same guy who wrote Riverdance, Bill Whelan.
Uh-huh.
And that has echoes of what you've just played there. So look that up.
We'll make
Time,
sure.
Time Dance by Planxty.
Thank you.
Merci, Nicholas. Pascal and Jan. Thank you very much. Thank
Merci,
you.
Merci, Ray.
That's it. Cormac's on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.